Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you've been listening already, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Look what you got to look forward to. Let me tell you what you got to look forward to. You got Ray Keating to look forward to. It just doesn't get any better than Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen. Ray is the chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. He's the author of U.S. by the Numbers, D.C. by the Numbers, and I think New York by the Numbers, too, and Lower Slobobia by the Numbers, too. I think that's the new one he's got coming out. And somewhere in the bowels of his operation over there is a sports book that's on the way. Ray, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Great to be here.
And also, folks, he's a columnist. He's the token conservative on the writing staff of Newsday, a tri-state publication, right?
Primarily Long Island, but New York City as well. Daily newspaper, and I'm in there every Monday.
I didn't know how wide the distribution was, but he's in there every week and holding down batting down the hatches over there for conservatives everywhere. Ray, one of the things that we want to talk about today is the new ranking of our congressional votes on small business issues. My audience knows, Ray, and you probably remember, there haven't been too many times when you and Karen Kerrigan, your president of the SBE Council, has been on the show that I don't encourage my audience to go to your website and see the scorecard for how Congress voted on small business issues. And so I've got good news, folks. The brand new scorecard is out, and we're going to talk about that today. One of those topics, Ray, is kind of in the news. Maybe it's in mine and your news mostly today, and that is the first anniversary of Kelo versus New London.
Oh yeah, the June 23rd of last year, the Supreme Court handed down its decision in the Kelo case, and that was basically the situation where the city of New London in Connecticut, they had an economic development plan, and part of that was buying up some 90 acres of privately owned properties to hand it over to another private entity. There were some folks that didn't want to sell, and
yep.
They invoked eminent domain, and we got all sorts of, we got a court case as a result. And this started back in 2000, and then in June of last year, a 5-4 court decision came down in favor of the city and against mm-hmm. property rights, and quite frankly, ignoring what the U.S. Constitution actually says on the matter.
The Fifth Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, has a little bitty clause in it. Called the takings, it's come to be known as the takings clause, and that clause basically says that that private property can be taken by a government entity for public good, public use.
Yeah.
But that has become converted. The public use has become converted into public benefit.
Right.
And it sounds like maybe you and I are splitting hairs here, Ray, but the truth is we're not. And because there's a big, huge Grand Canyon between public use and public benefit. In my opinion, as Mark Twain would say, it's like the difference between lightning and lightning bug.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what they've done, the court decided in that case, was basically to allow, they redefined public use to mean public purpose, and then they allowed politicians to define public purpose however they like. I mean, quite frankly, and that's not an exaggeration. So it opens the door to a tremendous amount of abuse, and the target of that abuse primarily are two groups. One, average homeowners,
uh-huh.
And number two, guess what,
small business owners.
It's the folks that don't have a heck of a lot of political power are the targets there.
And folks, if you want to read more about the humanity in this, I wrote an article about it. Ray, as you know, you guys did too. I mean, I was one of the first people to publish, my opinions about this last year. I was clearly 2 or 3 months ahead of the mainstream media. They didn't pick up on this until like August or September, and I don't know if you remember that or not, but they took a long time to really get this out, and I was tracking it. Pretty closely, because this is something that really upsets me. Anyway, this is one of the issues that is included in the evaluation that the SBE Council does of members of Congress and how they voted. And so when we come back after these messages, we're going to talk about how, you know, what states are voting, their congressional delegation is voting more for small businesses, and which ones are voting more against small businesses. And there's a pretty good chance you won't be real surprised. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Ray Keating is our guest and our good friend. Back, it's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ray Keating's here, too, because he's a really smart guy and Chief Economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, an organization I've been telling you about since the second week I've been on, since I was on the air.
I know, it's been a long time.
I've been telling you guys about that. Karen was on the show. She was one of my very first guests. I think she was on in the second week we found her. And you guys are, I know you guys have figured out that when you join my brain trust, we're sort of like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
There you go.
Kilo v. New London, real quickly, Ray, one of the things that, this is the first anniversary of that case, Ray, one of the things that did, abusing property rights by municipalities, by states, is nothing new. It's been going on for decades. I was actually on a jury back in the 70s, Ray, to decide. The property had already been taken. It wasn't my job to decide whether they would take it or not. It was my job to decide whether they got, how much money they got. And we gave them more money than the city wanted to give them. I learned a lot about appraisals in that jury. But my point is, this has been going on for a long time, but maybe, Ray, the Kilo case effectively said, it got everybody stirred up enough that the state said, okay, we have to decide, you know, where are we going to be on this issue? And so states are taking action to protect privacy, private property now, aren't they?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And actually, one of the things in the majority decision that they actually said, well, they got everything else wrong, but they said that there nothing in their opinion would preclude any state from placing tighter restrictions on takings power. So the states have, you know, the people were outraged. You're right, it's been going on a long time, but this really hit a chord, this decision. And many of the states have reacted. Actually, you've got since the decision came down, you've got 23 states that have enacted legislation to somehow or another, you know, clearly define or tighten matters when it comes to the takings power. Now, you know, again, it varies. Some states have put through something that's really substantive, and other states, you know, it's been kind of more of a political posturing thing. But the 23 states have taken action, and that's certainly worth noting. And in Congress, you know, to segue into our ratings report, the House of Representatives put forth a bill called the Private Property Rights Protection Act in the House, and it passed by an overwhelming margin. I mean, you had the most liberal members to the most conservative members voting for this. So that was a good step, but unfortunately, and as what happened, it seems to happen with so many issues, nothing's happened quite yet in the Senate, and they've been sitting on it over in the Senate.
Right. Well, and speaking of let's get over into the scorecard. This is where you rate the delegations as a whole, right? All senators and congressmen.
Right. What we do is this year we have 23 votes in the Senate and 23 votes in the House on issues that are important to small businesses, and we rank each individual senator and each individual House member, and then also we tally up all the votes for each state and we give the state delegation a ranking.
Right. And so what let me read the top five here, folks. Idaho, Oklahoma, Alaska, Wyoming, Utah are the top five in terms of voting for small business issues. They're in the high 90s range. Massachusetts, Vermont. I'm reading in reverse order, folks. Massachusetts, Vermont, Rhode Island, Hawaii, and Maine are the top the bottom five. They're scraping the barrel, folks, in terms of small business issues. And none of that should surprise anybody.
No, and you know the difference is stunning, because coming in number one were Idaho and Oklahoma tied. They voted with small business 95.7% of the time. You look at the other end, Massachusetts voted with small businesses 12.2% of the time. So that's the wide range we have here.
Right.
And it's and again, this is not, you know, what we're looking at are the, you know, the fundamental core issues that matter from a policy perspective for small business owners. You know, regulations, taxes, reining in ridiculous litigation, you know, trade issues, all those issues that impact small businesses, you know, entrepreneurs, and the economy across the board.
Right. Absolutely. Well, North Dakota is number 45. Are you surprised at them? Did they pop in there surprisingly?
You know, I think it surprised people because of all the states that surround them. You know, all the states that surround them and are in Northeast, and you got North Dakota. But you know what? On the other end, you've got a lot of states that are kind of out west or in the south. But New Hampshire is number 10. So
yeah, but New Hampshire is the Republican bastion. They're the Republican island of the Northeast, aren't they?
They traditionally have been, absolutely, and they've. Yeah. So maybe that partially explains it. But, you know, I hate to, you know, reality is reality, and you're going to have Democrats and Republicans have different philosophies. But I would hope, you know, all politicians, Democrats and Republicans, love to talk about how much they love small business. But it's a shame that that voting records don't always line up. And that's what we're trying to get at here.
Well, you know, if you look at these rankings, folks, by state, can't they go further than on your website, Bray, and see how each individual state's delegation voted, each member of the delegation?
Yep, you can download the whole report from our website, and it'll give you not only just the state delegation scores, but every individual member of Congress. It'll give you a description of what the votes are, what we base it on. So it's pretty comprehensive. The report answers every question, I think.
Remind me, every organization has a little bit of a different percentage. What is, in your opinion, what is your threshold for being a good small business voter and a bad? Is it 70 or 80 or 90%? What is it?
We usually put it right at 80%.
Okay, so anything below 80 is, you're starting to come up on our radar screen to have a few missiles lobbed at you. And if you are above 80, then we're going to give you maybe a little bit of an applause and maybe a standing ovation if you get above 90. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Ray Keating. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ray Keating. And Ray, give us your website, please.
It is www.sbecouncil.org.
All right. Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find all sorts of great stuff. Fun for small business owners from a policy perspective. But, you know, the two things I think that we've been talking about, right on the front page, you'll be able to download the congressional ratings. It's our congressional voting scorecard for the 2005 session. It's just out. And you also will be able to download right from the front page there the latest Kelo report. It's called Stopping Kelo 1 Year Later. And that's available there as well. And that'll give everybody a rundown on the legislative efforts that are going on. So you'll be able to go in there. You know, this is great state-by-state type stuff. You'll be able to go into that report, see what's been going on in your state, see if you've done anything on the Kelo issue, the eminent domain issue, and then on the congressional scorecard, you'll be able to see how your own members of Congress vote on a wide range of issues. So it's good stuff.
I encourage you to do that. And one of the reasons, Ray, there was a time when I was going to be meeting a member of my own delegation, And I went to your website, and I looked up his voting record, and it was below 70%. And I knew the guy a little bit. I kind of knew how he, you know, what his attitude was about small business. And so when I spoke to him, I said, let me show you something. And I showed him your report. Now, folks, this is a true story. I showed him your report, and I said, did you realize that this is where you stood on small business voting record? He said, he almost turned white. He did not know, because he didn't always, as you know, they don't always know what their vote, what their voting are is going to affect small business. It's not always clear to them, is it? And just to finish my story, I'll let you comment on it. He was surprised. He was grateful that I brought it up to him. The next time you put out a report, it was well above 80%.
Well, you know, that's good, and that's what we hope our members do, is, you know, they look at this and they see how their own delegation is voting, and they let them know. Because, again, you know, I've said this before on your show, small business owners have more power, more political clout than they realize. And as an employer in somebody's district or in the state, they carry extra weight. And when they pick up the phone or send an email or write a letter to their elected officials, they take notice. They're politicians. They'll take notice of those things. And it is good to remind them that you can talk really great and really, you know, say all nice things about small businesses, but you've got to actually carry through when the votes come.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, it kind of, Ray, brings up the point about how little some of these guys really know about what they're voting on.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And also, you know, perhaps even more distressing is, when they know what they're voting on, some of them, too many of them, don't realize the ramifications. They don't realize the consequences.
Right.
Of, you know, they'll think, for example, let's take an example. We have a death tax vote, certainly in this year's ratings, on making it permanently repealing the death tax. Now, you have, how many members of Congress will say, oh, you know, that's only going to affect some really, really wealthy guy out there, and why should I vote for that? But they have to realize that, number one, the it's a tax on assets, so how many businesses are going to fall into that area where they're certainly not wealthy individuals, but because of the assets of the business, they're going to get hit. And then, number two, there are economic ramifications far broader than the particular people paying the tax. And
right.
On tax issues, that seems to be a very difficult concept for certain politicians to grasp, that, you know what, the impact of that tax reaches beyond the person you're taxing. It impacts the, you know, incentives for saving and investing, for working, and all those things have ripple effects throughout the economy.
Well, and by the way, speaking of which, there's a vote that's coming up. Did it go through yesterday, or was it today? When is it going to happen that they're actually going to vote on another variation of the death tax?
Yeah, I saw that in a paper real quick this morning. I believe the House passed it. It does, unfortunately, doesn't repeal it, but it pares it back. It kind of leaves it around, but not hitting as many estates and at lower tax rate. You know, is it better than nothing? Sure, but you know what? You can't leave. You have a historic opportunity here to get rid of a tax that caused a lot of problems for the economy.
That never should have been passed to begin with.
Exactly, and we need to get rid of it, because if you leave it around, lingering around, number one, it's going to impact certain people and parts of the economy, and it's going to expand. When politicians are looking for more revenue, they're going to turn around
right.
And do what they did in the past and expand it.
Hey, Ray, got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always, and thanks for this report. Folks, it's at sbecouncil.org, and I encourage you to check it out and check out your own delegation. Thanks, Ray. See you next time.
Okay, take care, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side. The news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.